Okay. She requested prayer. So, Pastor Tom, Elder Andre, come on up, and we'll just lay hands on Pastor Don, and we'll pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come out. Holy Spirit, the words that you've given her, the topics that you've given her, the points that need to be driven home into our hearts. Today, we pray that you would breathe life into your word in the name of Jesus. The breath of life, we just speak it to be. Let your fire fall in this place. Let your wind blow and let your breath of life come, Father, that your word as it is spoken would speak to our hearts, would quicken our hearts, would challenge our hearts, would draw us closer to you, that as we leave this day from the word that you've given us, we would leave encouraged, we would leave strengthened, we would leave built up. So we pray your empowerment, the empowerment of your Holy Spirit to fill our pastor in Jesus' name for the giving of your word today. Breathe life, Lord. Life. Power. Release your power through your word today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you. It is for you. God told me he made you short because the foundations of your spiritual shoes are so big that if you were any taller, you would be so far above us that we would not be able to figure out what you were saying. God has given you your stature because your foundation, I just see thick, thick, heavy-soled shoes in the spirit. So we're excited to hear what you have.
Thank you. Thank you. I needed that. I always say this weak little woman, Lord, has no strength in herself, but power in you, because he is my strength. Hallelujah. I had a rough morning. I always get up early, but I had a rough morning getting together. And the last thing I did, of course, I got dressed, and I put on my high-heeled shoes, so I'll be taller, Jen. And because of my medication, my feet are swollen, my hand, everything's swollen. So I'm walking around like this. But anyway, I'm okay. I go outside. Oh, let me tell you this first. We've had a dry time, you know, dry week, you know, with no rain or anything like that. And so I prayed for rain. I said, Lord, please send rain, because not only do my plants need it, the bushes and all that, but our poor animals, you know. And then I go on, oh, the little children, oh, the old people in the old folks' home, send refreshment, Lord. But I was thinking about my little animals, my cats that live outside. So, and then I go out and I water everything. I put ice in their bowls and all that. And I had a pet turtle. I haven't seen him for, I guess, since last summer, little Pokey too. And every time it rains, and by the way, the Lord answered prayer, my prayer, he let it rain. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord, now the animals won't suffer. So I go outside and I see little Pokey too. And I have a rut in my driveway that every time it rains, there's a puddle there, and it lasts for a couple days. But because it's been so dry and so hot, the puddle was all dried up. And there's this little turtle in this little so-called puddle that used to be. It's all brown now with dirt. I said, oh, my Lord, this poor little turtle's looking for the puddle. He knows, you know, where it is. And there's no water in there. But I got to preach today, Lord, and I'm all dressed. And my feet hurt. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, wasn't it you who prayed for rain for the animals? I said, yeah, Lord. I said, but, you know, it seems a little insignificant. Oh, really? Didn't you just pray? Last night I prayed, my eye is on the sparrow. Therefore, I watch over you. I said, oh, Lord. Okay, so I get out my hose, and it's not an easy thing, because it's just not an easy thing, especially for me, to go under the tree, to turn it on, my arthritic hands, blah, 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 blah. So I turn it on and I go bring it to the little turtle and I fill up the little puddle. And he's swimming around and having a ball. I said, Lord, if you could bring refreshment to a little turtle that seems so significant to so many people, how much more will you refresh us? How much more will you refresh me when I'm dry? And I really wasn't dry. I just had a rough morning. So, you know, the Lord is, he's such a big God, but he's simple in nature as well. And he created his creatures, as we're going to talk about a little more later. He created these things. A great creator created the creatures. And we're going to see the authority in that, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to Daniel 6, please. Daniel 6, we're going to talk about Daniel in the den of lions. And this morning's message, I must say, we hope that all our messages are from the Lord, but I just couldn't sleep many nights that the Lord kept drilling this into me and drilling this into me. And this is a three-part sermon, but I pray it's anointed. We want to talk about three things. We want to talk about unity, authority, eternity. Remember, E-T. Unity, authority, and eternity. So let's begin reading in chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. Satraps back then were like our governors or our mayors. And we're going to see, and I was reminded of the word satrap because I say Satan's traps. These are Satan traps, whether it be back then or even now, who knows. But anyway, Daniel was one of those satraps who was godly. Daniel was the second son of King David and his wife Abigail. And Daniel was taken into captivity when he was just a teenager. They calculate that he was 17 years old, just like his father was, King David, when he ruled over his father's, the shepherd, the sheep that his father entrusted to him. So he was taken into captivity. In all probability, he was made a eunuch because that's what they did back then, so that their loyalty would just be for their ruler. When men are made eunuchs, they have no desire to take wives or to have children. They're only loyal to one. And Daniel was loyal to his God, the living God of Israel, first. And that's why he served the king well. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel, to distinguish himself among the administrators and the other satraps, by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. The king planned to set Daniel over the whole kingdom. At this time, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They were jealous. They were jealous of Daniel because he was the king's first choice. They could not find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. In other words, they were. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, or Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. See, they were trying to get on the king's good side. Now, O king, issue the decree and lion's den. Issue the decree. Yeah. And put in it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. That would be the east, the holy city, indicating heaven. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then these men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict can the king issue can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating or without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. I want to stop there for a moment and talk about the unity that these satraps had, because there's all kinds of unity in the world and in God's kingdom as well. Unity is strong. Unions are strong. They stick together. They uphold each other. And it's very hard, very difficult to come against the union. I was thinking about of a couple of things. One of the things is the Tower of Babel found in Genesis 11. They built a tower, as you know, that would rise to the heavens. And these evil people, this amazes me, because they thought they could outsmart God. Can you imagine that? But remember, in chapter 8 in Genesis, the great flood occurred. God brought the flood upon the earth to wipe everything out. So these people decided to build a tower up to the heavens, so tall, so huge, so that if God decided to send a flood upon the earth again, they would be safe. Can you imagine? And so they started to build this tower. Why? They almost succeeded because they were in unity. And I get a picture of God. And when I say sarcastic, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean sarcastic meaning funny. Funny in a kind of a, you know, he's going to tease them a little bit, you know. And I get a picture of God with his hands folded. Go ahead, build your tower. Go ahead, build your tower. And they're toiling day after day building their tower. But they're in unity, and that's why they continue. And, of course, we know that God came down and destroyed them in a way that he confounded their tongues so that they couldn't speak to one another, so that they had to be scattered all over the world, and each one of them who spoke the same language as the other ones, they all joined together. Unity. Unity to the good, unity to the bad. But God always has the last word. I was thinking personally, for a personal point of view, personal reference, I was thinking to the time that my husband, my late husband, Pastor Charles, worked for the Bell Telephone Company before he went off to Bible college to become a minister. And he was an installer for Ma Bell way back then. And he was the number one installer in that area for productivity. He just worked and worked and worked, and he had stacks of paper that he had to go into these homes to install telephones. And after he went to the people's homes, he had to climb a pole, the telephone pole. And he had to bring the wire all the way up to the top of the telephone pole. And then he would have to call a central office in order to get dial tone. And when that was completed, then the people had their phones, and that was that. Well, the union got on him. Speaking of unity, the union got on him. I was thinking about these. Never mind. They got on him because his production was too high. And the other men were complaining because he made them look bad. And I'm thinking, wow, just like this. That's what they did to Daniel. You know, they threw him in the lion's den because Daniel made them look bad because he was such a good worker. So what happened with Pastor Charles was he would, and the boss used to say, go home, take a break, go to a restaurant, do this, do that, but keep the production level down because everybody else is looking bad. So that's something. So what would happen is that he would climb the pole, dial central office for dial tone, and he would wait and wait and wait and linger and linger and linger. Why? Because they wanted to give all the other workers a chance to get their dial tone in first, to install their phone first. So Pastor would have to wait. He would wait in the winter. He would wait. He would come home with frozen eyelashes. And he would wait in the summer. He looked like an Arab. I used to cut up his T-shirts, put him in ice water, put him over his head. That's how good of a worker he was. They made him wait because he made the other guys look bad. And so they made all the other guys get their dial tone in before Pastor did. So because of all this, Pastor would go to his boss every once in a while and say, you know, I want out of installation. I'd like to be in management. And the boss did say, yeah, as soon as you're a management position, we'll put you in there. And this lasted for many years, and nothing ever happened. So the time came when Pastor Charles was going to Bible college. He enrolled, and he went into his boss's office to tell him about his two-week resignation, his notice. And as soon as he walked in the office, his boss said, I know, you want the management position. He said, no. He said, I'm here to tell you that I'm quitting. I'm giving my 2 weeks' notice. What? You know what? I think there is a management position available to you and for you. He said, doesn't matter. He said, I'm going off to Bible college. He said, what are you going to do that for? He said, I want to become a pastor. You're giving up this great job, you know, paid a lot of money, especially overtime, to do that? He said, why don't you take a leave of absence? And Pastor Charles had just had that dream about burning the bridge behind him. He had a dream that he was on one part of the land, and another part of the land was separated by this rickety old wooden bridge with the ropes for railings. And he climbed it to the other side, and the Lord said to him, now burn the bridge because there's no going back. So he told that to his boss, and his boss was greatly troubled. And he tried to get Pastor to stay, but it was the Lord's will for him to go. And he had to do what he had to do. And there's unity, not only in men, but there's unity in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with one God. And when you walk with him in unity, you don't care about anything else other than pleasing God. And that's what this was all about. Now, I want to take you to another scripture that explains the next part of the message. We're talking about unity, right? And how strong the union is. It's going to lead into authority. So for that, I want to take you to Psalm 133, a very well-known, popular scripture. This scripture is like a cliche, unfortunately. What is a cliche? A cliche is something very powerful, words, phrases, very powerful, but you use it so often that you forget the power behind it. That's a cliche. That's like this Psalm 133, 1 and 2. How good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. We all know that. It's good, it's great that we're all unified in our cause and serving the Lord. But look at verse 2. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, upon the collar of his robes. This scripture is saying, verse 2 is saying, it is like precious oil. What does the Bible speak about when we hear about oil? The Holy Spirit. And what does the Bible mean when we talk about the head? Authority. It is like the Holy Spirit running down upon us with his authority that ran down the beard, down Aaron's collars, robes. Of course, he was anointed at that time. They anointed with oil and it poured all the way down him. Now we just anoint with oil just on our head, but it's still significant. It still means that if you are in unity with the Lord, you've got authority. There's oil poured down upon your head. And it took me a very long time in Christ to understand, hey, I have authority. I have authority. And didn't Jesus say that he had authority given to him by the Father, and now I give it to you? Didn't he say that to his disciples? To go make disciples of all nations? So we have authority. And I don't know if you get a little annoyed, but I do, when I see Christians who think they have authority just to run around and hop around and speak in tongues and, oh, I got goosebumps, and, oh, you said something so great. Oh, I just feel it. And then they do nothing with their Christianity. They don't witness. They don't live their lives in such a way that anybody would want to be a Christian. And that's no authority at all. Maybe it's the wrong authority. Who knows? But anyway, authority comes out of this unified agreement that Daniel had with the living God. Now, I don't want to skip this. It's coming to my mind about authority. We all have authority in Christ Jesus. But we submit to authority in Christ Jesus. I submit to my pastors and their wives. And I'm old enough to be their mother. But yet, I submit to their authority. Why? Because it's a godly thing. Godly put them over the church, over this body, to lead us and to guide us. And most of the time we know what to do or what not to do. We have the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us. He speaks to our hearts. But what would it hurt to run it by your leaders? Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. So, now, I want to talk more about authority and Daniel that was in the lion's den. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring. Okay, we found out that he was greatly distressed because Daniel was his number one worker. He couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. This is verse 20 now. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "O king, live forever." This was prophetic, by the way. "O king, live forever." When the other satraps said, "O king, live forever," they were just, you know, they were trying to, I don't know what to say. They were trying to get on his good side, right? Blah, blah, blah. "Oh, king, live forever." You know, they were interested in their own stuff. They weren't really interested in the king. They were only interested in getting their stuff done. It's like when you meet the queen, you shouldn't really say anything, but her servants will say, "God save the queen," or "God save the king." This is protocol. This is what you say, and that's what they did back then. "Oh, king, live forever." But Daniel answered, "O king, live forever." And that became prophetic, as you will see in the next few moments. "My God," Daniel said, "my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." Let's stop there. I want to talk about authority a little further. If you're like me, you like to ask tons of questions. Why, where, how, what? And I know, and it says here, that God sent an angel, probably Gabriel, because he was the messenger. He sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. Now, the warrior angel, archangel, is Michael. Why didn't he send him? Michael could have very easily shut the mouths of those lions. He was a warrior angel. But God wants us to see something else here. He sends a messenger. Not that he's lesser of an angel, he's still an archangel, but he sends a messenger to shut the mouths of the lions. So the average person may say, "Oh, okay, I believe that. The angel shut the mouths of the lions." But how? Where, what, how, when? How did he shut the mouths of those lions? Did he bring glue with him and pour them into the lions' mouths so they could not open them? Maybe he brought muzzles. Maybe he brought muzzles and put them over the lions' mouths. I don't think so. Neither do you. So why didn't those lions devour Daniel? Because of his authority. The authority he had in his living God. And God wants us to see the authority that we have over mouths of lions. Maybe you're in a workplace where you have lots of co-workers who dislike you and want you out of there because you make them look bad. And you would love to shut their mouths. But sometimes we go into the lion's den that they put us in before we can shut the mouths of the lions. And isn't that funny that the Lord would use lions as an example, his creatures, his creations, right, on the fifth day. He uses lions to give us two illustrations here. Satan roams around or roars around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's the lion that Satan is. But if you serve the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lion of Judah, you have more authority over anybody else, including the enemy. So that's amen. Yeah, that's right. We need to be reminded of that, because sometimes we forget, because this world is so tough and the workplace is so tough and there's many of them and there's little of us. And so if you're working with a group of people right now who want you in the lion's den, just go with the flow and watch what the Lord does with your authority, because you're in unity with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Then they are, I hate to say that, but if they're not serving the living God, what other gods are they serving? Just like these 120 satraps, or 119 minus Daniel, they serve foreign gods. And when you read in Scripture about foreign, it means evil. They served foreign gods, they served evil gods. And so all together, they were very strong. They were very powerful. You know the devil's powerful, but he's nothing compared to the unity we have with our Heavenly Father and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, his authority in the precious name of Jesus. We say that. I know of a family that they had a Doberman Pinscher, beautiful animal, Doberman Pinscher. Not a very large dog, but very powerful and muscular. And I would never go into a house with someone who had his Doberman Pinscher there, right? You would have to lock him up. But this family, father, mother, and a baby daughter, had a Doberman Pinscher. And this Dobie would sit and sleep on the carpet by the crib of this little baby girl. And of course, no one could ever touch her. But my point is, when company came, they had to lock the dog in another room because the dog would have devoured the company. Who told that dog? Now, I know all about animal instinct. The Lord gave instincts to animal. But by what authority does the dog... Dog, what authority does a dog know to protect this little baby to the death and not let anybody else come into the house? What authority? Do you see my point here? Just like that little turtle seeming so insignificant. If the Lord gives authority to his creations, to his creatures, how much more will he give to us? That dog was like the lions in the den. Those lions didn't attack Daniel. The dog didn't attack the baby. That baby could have pounced on his head. That dog would have taken it. Yet you look at that dog and they would have devoured you or me. They have not hurt me, Daniel said, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done anything wrong before you, O king. Now watch this. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Don't sell yourself short. You may be thrown, I may be thrown into the lion's dens, but don't give up there. Because the Lord has the power to shut those mouths of those lions, because he is the Lion of Judah. He is their authority. They bow down to him, whether it's an animal or a person. And the king's command, he commanded the men who had falsely accused Daniel, were brought in and thrown into the lion's den. And this is sad right here, along with their wives and children, because back then that's what they did. If the leader of the house was evil, they just knew that everyone in the house was evil or would become evil, and so they destroyed all of them. They did that many times in the army of Israel. So the king threw all those satraps that accused Daniel, their wives and children, into the lion's den, and before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. I know that sounds sad. I know that sounds harsh, but this is the word of God. This is to show you that the Lord will come to your rescue no matter what. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. Remember I said when Daniel said, "O king, live forever"? Here we go. We talked about unity, we talked about authority, and now we're going to talk about eternity. This is big stuff here. He wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Okay, praise the Lord. Yes, give the Lord a clap offering. Now, we know there are believers and there are followers. People out there, lots of people believe Jesus is God. The demons believe and they shudder, right? Isn't that what the word tells us? But they're not followers of Jesus. And if we truly believe, then we're followers of Jesus. And if we're followers of Jesus, then we confess our sins to him whenever we sin. And he is righteous and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of the power that is in the blood of Christ, right? So now, all of the kingdom become believers in Daniel's God. We can't judge their hearts. Some of them may have just, okay, well, we'll go along with it just to appease the king. But some of them may have been true converts. Some of them may have followed the law that was given to the Israelites. We get a picture here of salvation. And when these believers slash followers, when they died, where did they go? They went to a place where they rested in, I'm getting chills, the bosom of Abraham. Did they not? Isn't that what happened to all the Jews, all the believers? They went to a place, they rested in the bosom of Abraham. And what happened on the day Jesus was crucified? When his blood ran down the cross and hit the ground, his blood is so powerful that the ground had to split. We read in the word that there was a mighty earthquake when his blood touched the ground. And the dead arose. What dead arose? The Israelites who were resting in the bosom of Abraham, including those satraps, including that king who declared that anyone here has to submit to the God of Daniel. So it's quite possible and probable that we're all going to see these people when we get into heaven someday. Look at this. This is Jesus in the Old Testament. I love it. Jesus in the Old Testament. You'll find me when you search for me with your whole heart. I will be there. I will be found by you. And oh, sometimes I just say, without being, I don't want to accuse anybody or be judgmental, but sometimes I say to myself, how do the Jews today not see this? How can they not? Because their eyes have been blinded for a time. But for us who serve the living God, we can glean, we can learn, we can look in the Old Testament and say, wow, this is a powerful God. And we have to remember, and myself included, we stand in unity. We stand in unity as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, who stand, that we stand in unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we really do stand in unity, then we have authority over evil. And anyone who tries to take us over, I'm sorry to say, but they're either going to get saved or they're going to end up crushed by lions. They're going to end up with the God that they serve. You know, evil does as evil is. It depends on what God you serve. Now, this is all for a reason. Like I said, we just don't have authority to go around and hoot and holler and howl. This is for a reason. This is so we bring others to Christ. Isn't that what that king back then declared? He declared that. Shouldn't we do so much more when we're in unity and we have authority? Shouldn't we do it for a reason? What reason? All authority has given to me, Jesus said, by the Father, and I give it to you. Why? The Great Commission. Matthew 28, go in all the world and make disciples of all men. You know, I heard it one time, somebody said, they're just satisfied, us four, no more in our household. And they don't live their lives, or they don't lead others to Christ, and we don't need to break down doors, break down walls. I don't believe in that. I really don't. But if the Holy Spirit brings someone to you for the sake of salvation, then we need to declare it. We need to pray over them. I just spoke to someone the other day over the phone, and this person said, oh, I hope so-and-so leads them to Christ. I said, why don't you? How long have you been saved? Yeah. You know what? I think I will. I said, I know you will. If the living God is in you, you are going to reproduce yourself. Just like, I always say this, just like our physical genetics. You got blue eyes because your parents have blue eyes. You got brown eyes because your parents have brown eyes. You're going to be strong in Christ and lead others to Christ. If you're strong in Christ, you're going to produce your own kind. If you're lackadaisical, I'm saved. That's all that matters to me. That's who you're going to attract. Nobody. So I say all this to learn from Scripture, and so let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We know your word is alive, and we know you have given us eyes to see. Allow us to see the importance of this word today. Allow us to see the importance of living together with you in unity and sharing in your authority so that many others may come to Christ. Lord, we are so glad that we are saved and sanctified, born again, born of the Holy Spirit. We're so grateful for that. But we just can't stop there. We have to be mindful of the fact that there's a dying world out there. And no, we can't save everybody. But Lord, if you bring them one by one to us, we'll do our part. And if we feel like we can't, Lord, I ask that you would set a little fire underneath us so that we couldn't even sleep at night until we do. And we ask this in your power, because of your blood. In Jesus' name, we all do pray. And all God's people who have authority and unity said, amen. Pastor Tom, would you close us?
Thank you, Pastor Donna. Why don't you all stand? Let me officially send you off. You've come out to the Lord's house this morning. You got up on a day and by choice said, you know what? I want to be in God's house today. Some of you, hopefully many of you, walk with the Lord each day. But it is, in many ways, a daily yield. So when we come before him together as a church family, it's just great to yield together. So when you're here, continue just to enter in. But I want to also make sure you know the altar is open. You've come out this morning. If there's something that you need prayer for, if there's something that you need for somebody to either agree with you in prayer, or if you're at a place in your life that you said, you know what, I've heard the truth. Maybe today you're hearing it for the first time. Maybe you've heard it many times. And you say, I need to surrender to the God of Daniel, to the Lord Jesus. He reigns. He does reign, and your life needs to be surrendered to him so that we can live with him forever and be with him for eternity. Amen? So let me pray this blessing over you in the words that the Lord gave to Moses. He said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people did say, amen. Amen. You are blessed and dismissed. Please come forward for prayer if you need it. If you have time and want to meet us on the other side for some coffee and snacks, please come over to our fellowship hall.